This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Progressive helps you compare direct auto rates from a variety of companies so you can find a great one, even if it's not with them. Quote today at progressive.com to find a rate that works with your budget. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Hello and welcome to This Day in Esoteric Political History from Radiotopia. My name is Jody Avrigan. This day, April 14th, 1919. Eugene V. Debs, prominent socialist activist, labor leader, one of the founding members of the Industrial Workers of the World, the Wobblies, and a several-time candidate for president, is sent to prison. Now, we'll talk about why he goes to prison, but he stays in prison through 1920 until President Warren G. Harding commutes his sentence in December of 1921. So, you have this period, early 1919 through 1921, where he's imprisoned. What happens in the interim? Well, he earns millions of votes for president as a candidate in the 1920 election. So that is a notable fact, something we will talk about with Eugene Debs, both his imprisonment and, I actually didn't look this up, but I think the only presidential candidate who's earned a couple percentage of the vote from prison. I think it's safe to say that, right?
Yeah,
certainly
the most significant. But anyway, here to discuss that, as always, are Nicole Hemmer of Columbia and Kelly Carter Jackson of Wellesley. Hello there.
Hello, Jody.
Hey there.
Nikki Debs, as we're saying, this is the moment where he is imprisoned. The government is no fan of Eugene V. Debs. The Wobblies are always clashing with the government. There are strikes and clashes and arrests and setups and so forth. What is it that finally gets Debs behind bars in this moment?
Well, 1919, when he is finally arrested and put in prison, is in the middle of World War One. And one of the things that Debs had been doing as a socialist and as a pacifist was speaking out against the war. Not only speaking out against the war, but telling people that the draft was bad and they shouldn't enroll. And that all sounds fine, First Amendment, except that just a few years earlier, the Congress had passed the Espionage Act and then the Sedition Act. And those laws together made it illegal to do what he was doing, to agitate against the war. And so even though, you know, today that seems wild that somebody could go to prison for this. Debs was targeted. He was thrown into prison. And, you know, he was somebody who had run for president before. So it is also quite likely that folks had it in their mind that he would run in 1920 and needed to be put down as a political threat as well.
Yeah, I think that's such an important thing. He wasn't just, it's one thing to jail a peace activist or a labor activist, but to jail someone who has political aspirations and clear political threat as well, that's a whole nother level. Jailing your political opponents is a sort of sign of slipping towards something, to put it
lock up him up, as they would say. I think it's important that he ran in 1912, and that was a crazy race where it was split between four different major candidates. The sitting president, William Howard Taft, comes in third in that race. And Eugene Debs makes a pretty strong showing in 1912. And in 1912, socialism, there was pretty strong anti-socialist sentiment in the U.S., but it didn't seem as threatening as it would by 1919, after you have the Bolshevik Revolution in Russia. And then the fear of socialism and the first Red Scare is really underway. And so I think that plays into the fact that he's seen as such a large threat.
He gets 6% in 1912 on the socialist ticket, and we'll talk about this, but he ends up getting 3.5% or so in 1920.
And that's incredible to me that, first of all, any number at all when you are locked up is significant. But I also think that people were galvanized by his incarceration, that by seeing how he was targeted by the federal government, it sort of, mobilized other people to really come to his aid, so that when he gets out of jail, the many times that he was in jail and prison, when he gets out of prison, he speaks to thousands of people. Like, there's crowds that are waiting to hear from him the moment that he is released. So there was always sort of a galvanizing effect around when he went into prison and when he came out, people were waiting for him.
Yeah, it's no surprise. I mean, he'd been jailed a number of times before. He was jailed in the wake of the Pullman strike. And, every time he gets jailed, and it there's an element of martyrdom there. And then every time he comes out of jail, his sort of the legend grows and his resolve deepens. And so certainly for his crowd, this only kind of increased his stature.
And his imprisonment was seen as a sign of his conviction, especially for things like the labor movement or the socialist movement, which were constantly facing significant state power and state violence in order to put them down. And so somebody who is willing to go to jail shows a kind of conviction in the face of that power that is really meaningful to people who are organizing.
Right. Well, his conviction, but then also his conviction. I mean, he ends up in jail, right, under the Espionage Act. And it's worth saying, you know, the Supreme Court upholds it and they rule that he, you know, he was attempting to entice treason by obstructing the drafting of soldiers into the army.
I still love how, I mean, his conviction is admirable, right? Because when he's standing trial, he basically, his defense calls no witnesses and he gets on the stand and he speaks for 2 hours, basically admitting guilt, kind of like, yeah, I said what I said, and I'm not going to back down. I hate war. I abhor war, is what he said. I would oppose the war if I stood alone. You know, he really criticizes the U.S. government. And because of that stance, you know, he pays a heavy price for it. They sentence him to 10 years in jail, which is, you know, no small amount of time.
And it's worth saying that another thing that he said when he was addressing the court was that if the espionage law stands, then the Constitution of the United States is dead. And this is really the moment that organizing around civil liberties and organizing around freedom of speech really gets underway. The ACLU was founded in this moment, the American Civil Liberties Union. And it is out of this moment that our understanding of the First Amendment and freedom of speech is born.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And certainly his jailing is controversial. It leads to a lot of agitation. It happens in, you know, the second week of April. This is actually where the May Day riots come from. It was protest over the Supreme Court ruling, and that's where we'll maybe do an episode on the May Day riots. But, you know, it's all sort of in the milieu at that point. So now let's turn to continuing to run for president. So I think this is fourth time around at this point, right? He'd run in 1900 as well, and each time gotten a little more. But, you know, is it just like, well, you know, this is my thing, I run for president? Or how does he sort of like resolve to continue to do this? And how does one conduct a presidential campaign from prison?
So it's not easy. But I mean, it is very keeping with Debs's politics and his activism that he would run for president, right? If he sees the government trying to silence him, he's just going to speak louder. So his supporters really kind of run the campaign for him. Obviously, there's not a ton that he can do, but he becomes the emblem of being a political prisoner, being opposed to the war. He carries all of these values into the election, even though he's not able, obviously, to go out on the stump. But he's so much the emblem of this fight over speech and over the war that's where a lot of people, nearly a million people, sort of make their opinions about those issues known. It's not just about Debs, it's about this bigger debate.
You know what I mean, this is, it's sort of a counterfactual because it doesn't happen, but what would have happened if he won, right? Like, what do you do when you're in prison and, you know, you get significant votes, or if some outcome were to differ? I mean, there's a lot of things to think about with that, but it's just,
well,
it's
what you do is, you know, the election happens in November, then you wait till the following January, maybe like January 6th, and then
March
you just have
era.
And then you just kind of pull some strings and make it so that Congress can overturn the results, and then you go off scot-free.
You could get the Justice Department, you could pardon yourself, although that's obviously a little tricky. But they remember that the reason he's able to do that is because the qualifications for running for president are outlined in the Constitution, and states could put different limits on it, but the federal government couldn't say, like, no prisoners can run for president.
Right, right. Yeah.
But certainly there are prisoners who can't vote, which I think is also interesting.
Yes. Yeah.
Be on the ballot and not be able to vote is crazy.
Right.
Well, because it wasn't, I mean, this actually comes up in 2012, when Barack Obama is running for re-election, there is, I believe, an imprisoned felon who runs against him and ends up getting like 40% of the vote in West Virginia during the Democratic primaries. So there is he's not a political prisoner, but there is another story folded in here.
Wow. Yeah. Another precedent, I suppose.
Yeah. That 1920 election, Harding does end up winning, beats James Cox. And then Harding, it's about a year later, you know, ends up mm-hmm. commuting the sentence and releasing Debs. At that point, you know, it's kind of, to me, it seems like there's a notion that, well, okay, this political threat has been neutralized a little bit. We say that often. People get imprisoned for a moment when they're a threat, and then things, circumstances change.
And Debs was prosecuted under a Democratic president. So don't, you know, I'm not going to say that partisanship is the only reason, but this is a way of sort of reversing the policy of the previous administration.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, but by the time he's released from prison, I mean, he's quite broken. I mean, the mm-hmm. prison system is no fun place to be. His health is deteriorating because of the conditions that he suffered from while he was incarcerated. And so it really has robbed him of the ability to keep up the good fight, knowing that he has all of these ailments as a result of being in prison.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, we should say he's in his 60s, I think, at this point. And then not long later, I think around the age of 70, his health deteriorates and he does die. All right. Well, let's, you know, wrap it up there. I will say, we hinted at this earlier, but I think this is a reminder. This has happened many times throughout U.S. history, but this is a very glaring reminder that, you know, I think over the last few years, a lot of people have sort of drawn a big line and said, you know, one of the things we don't do in this country is jail our political opponents. And when we sort of start talking about that or doing that, it starts to indicate a slide towards something. And I completely agree, but I also think this is a glaring example that we have done that in our past, and we did that during the civil rights movement, and we've done it a lot. And so, you know, I think it's just whenever someone trots that line out, it's important to remember that, well, you know, we've done that too.
We have locked him up before.
Yeah,
we sure have.
Okay, well, we'll leave it there. Nicole Hemmer, thanks to you.
Thanks, Jody.
And Kelly Carter Jackson, thanks to you.
My pleasure.
Support for This Day in Esoteric Political History comes from Odoo. If you feel like you're wasting time and money with your current business software, or just want to know what you could be missing, then you'll need to join the millions of others who have switched to Odoo. Odoo is the affordable, all-in-one management software with a library of fully integrated business applications that help you get more done in less time for a fraction of the price. To learn more, visit odoo.com/thisday. That's odoo.com/thisday. Odoo, modern management made simple.
Radiotopia.